The 19th century Danish theologian named Soren Kierkegaard, he once described Christmas through the story of a king whose power and wealth was known throughout the whole world. This king had all that a man could ever want, except for a loving wife to care for and to care for him. Without a queen, his vast palace felt very empty and his rich heart felt hollow. So one day, while riding through the streets of a small village in his kingdom, he saw a beautiful peasant girl. She was so lovely that the king's heart was won over. Day after day, he'd ride by her house, just hoping to catch a glimpse of her for a moment in passing. And soon, he began wondering, how am I going to win her heart? So he thought, this is what I'll do. I'm going to draw up a royal decree, and I'm going to require her to be brought before me and to become the queen of my land. But as he rethought that idea, he realized that although she would have to obey him and say yes, he would never truly know if she loved him. So he thought, how about plan B? I know. I'll call on her in person, dressing in my finest royal garb, wearing my diamond rings, my silver sword, my shiny black boots, the most colorful, amazing tunic that I have in my wardrobe. I'll sweep her off of her feet with my wealth, and I will become her husband, and she will be my bride. But as he pondered that idea, he knew that he would always wonder if she'd married him simply for his wealth. Finally, he came up with an idea that he liked, and he went to work on it. He discarded his royal robes. He found some ragged clothes to wear, and he went down into the village as a poor peasant. He found shelter there. He began to work and to suffer among the people who lived there. He made friends and was eventually introduced to this beautiful woman. They courted for some time until finally she agreed to be his wife. Then and only then did he reveal his true identity as the king who'd become a peasant so that he could win her love. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful Christmas story. Welcome back to our Advent conspiracy. We began the conspiracy with our call to worship fully. We then continued the conspiracy with our commitment to spend less. Last week we talked about how we're called to give more. And we conclude this countercultural approach to Christmas that we're calling our Advent conspiracy. We're finishing it all up by examining God's command for us to love all. Let's go back to that story. So the king became a peasant to win her love. This is exactly what God did for us on that first Christmas. God, the King of the universe, disguised himself and became a poor peasant. He became a human baby. He put on flesh in order to have a relationship with us, in order to win our love. We sang about it earlier. All for love's sake, he became poor. All for love's sake, God became poor. Jesus became one of the poor in order to rescue the poor and to show them love. Jesus became one of the helpless ones in order to rescue the helpless ones and to show them love. Jesus became one of the least of these in order to rescue the least of these and to show us how to love all. Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 25, if you turn with me. Matthew chapter 25. It's another story about a king. It's another story about love. This particular story is told by the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. It's a prophetic story. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him. They'll say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the King will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger. You did not invite me in. I needed clothes. You didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger needing clothes or sick or in prison? When did we not help you?" And He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Jesus loves the poor. Jesus loves the helpless. Jesus loves the least of these. Jesus loves all. Jesus loves all. And we are called to love like Jesus. See how countercultural this Advent conspiracy, this whole Christmas thing really is? This isn't how culture operates. Culture loves those who love them. The world loves those who can give them something. The world runs after and tries to become friends with those who are wealthy or famous. Rub shoulders with people who are going to make them look better, bigger, maybe get something out of the relationship. That's what the world says. But Christmas shows us God's love. And shows us that it's completely different than this world's love. In that God came and He showed love to those who couldn't do a thing for Him. In fact, He came and He showed love to those who were not showing Him love at all, but were sinning against Him. He came for the poor, the helpless, the needy, the least of these. And that's what blew the mind of everybody at that time. That's why so many missed Him. And that's frankly why so many continue to miss Jesus. is because they think that God would come and he would hang out with the famous people and go to the really swank, cool parties. Be invited onto the yachts, to the high rises. But you see, when Jesus came, he didn't come that way. He identified with the poor, the helpless, and the least of these. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, it really was moving me a lot and challenging me a lot. Because, you know, my fleshly nature always has been looking out for me. By God's grace, that's falling off. But there's still some of that needs to be chipped away, frankly. There's still that selfish tendency. What's in it for me? And so, as I was preparing this sermon, I was convicted that the circle of love that I have created in my life it's too constrained. It's too small. I don't know, that's what God gave me. He just gave me that picture and that word, circle of love. And so I have this circle, this circle of people that are really part of my lives that I love, that I care for, that I do life with. And God was convicting me that it's too small. That I need to expand it. As I was putting together this message and reading this passage in Matthew 25 and just contemplating God's love and how he came and he showed his love to all, to those who couldn't do anything for him other than love him back, which is what he desires. I just had this question that popped in my mind that I want to throw out at every one of you, because I don't want to be the only one that gets to wrestle with this and then move and act upon it. And that is that maybe God has put somebody in our lives, somebody that we need to include, even this Christmas, even over the next couple days. Maybe we need to increase our circle of love a little bit. I know it's great just to have that wonderful family time when you're just, you know, cuddled up around the little fire as a family and celebrating together. And that's great. That's wonderful. But it's got to go beyond that. Jesus didn't come and just cuddle around his family. He immediately invited others in. Angels came down, sent from God, and invited complete strangers, dirty, smelly strangers, the shepherd, come and celebrate Christmas. God opened up his door and invited others in immediately to join him. He didn't keep it a small, little, quaint group huddled around together, just enjoying the comfort because they all know each other and they all love each other and everything's perfect. And he opened the door to others, to strangers, to the least of these, to the helpless, to those who couldn't do a thing for him. He said, come and be part of Christmas. Come and join me. I love you. I came for you. And I want you to know that. And I want you to know my love today. This is not some kind of small little restricted club where you got to know certain people to get in. You're all invited. Come. Have Christmas with me. Come. Celebrate with me. Come. Be part of my life. This culture is getting more and more, I don't know, private. Just, we don't communicate with other people. I grew up, our door was open and we'd have people popping in when I was a kid at any given time. And you know what? They usually would stay for hours. We didn't invite them. They would just come over. They'd stay for hours. They'd end up staying for dinner. The ladies would cook up dinner. The guys would go out in the yard and play with the kids. And we just would make an afternoon and evening of it. Spur of the moment. Loving one another, enjoying relationships and growing relationships that God was cultivating and making happen. We live in a culture now where we zip in, we hit our garage door, we go in, we shut the garage door, we hide, it's just us, us few and no more, and because that's comfortable and other people are messy and it's hard. And I just believe that God is saying to the church, He said to the church on that first Christmas, and He continues to tell the church, His people, open up your circle of love and bring others in like I did. Please look at the Christmas story. Please look at my example that I invited others in to join me and do what I did. It's God's heart. The authors of the Advent Conspiracy have noted that the very first statement Jesus ever voiced about His concern for the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized people, was when He cried out as one of them. His eyes were shut tight, mouth open wide. He was that baby Jesus, wailing, kicking. It was one of the most profound acts of solidarity. When God voted with His birth, He voted for the poor. Jesus came to this earth as a helpless little baby. You know, sometimes we joke with one another, hey man, what were you, born in a barn or something? Well, Jesus literally was born in a barn. And He chose that. It was no accident. He was born in a barn in that condition on purpose. God had a message that He wanted to send the world. Jesus came to this earth to love the poor, to rescue the poor, and so He came to this earth poor. He became the least of these in order to rescue the least of these. Look at the Christmas story. Except for the Magi, which come along quite a ways later than that first evening when He was lying in a manger, the wise men come about, it could have even been, you know, up to a year or more later. But other than the Magi, everyone else in the Christmas story was poor. Joseph and Mary, they were not rich people. The shepherds, of course, not wealthy people at all. None of them had earthly wealth. There's a message in that for us. God came and He sought out the poor, the helpless, the powerless, the needy. And He showed them love. And so if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to truly be His followers doing what He did, then we too must love all. Not just those who look like us, feel like us, and make us feel good and can do something for us. But we need to love all people. We must love the poor, the helpless, and the least of these. Again, the authors of the Advent Conspiracy make this statement, and it's a very good reminder. The good news of the gospel is for all people, including us. For you see, we are all poor and blind and impoverished and imprisoned. We are the ones who have been given this lavish gift of life with God, and now we are called to enter this broken world and to love differently. Jesus became poor for our sake. He entered our poverty so that we would no longer be poor. Now, do you hear that? He became poor so that we no longer need to be poor. He's speaking spiritually poor. We no longer have to be spiritually poor. He came into this world to rescue us so that our spiritual depravity could be erased and we could have wealth and riches and favor spiritually. We could have renewed relationship with God. We could have new life, spiritual life, come alive again in Christ Jesus. He became poor so that we don't have to remain poor. This priceless gift of a restored relationship with God and others is now offered to those who could never afford it. The outrageous wealth of His righteousness is credited to those who don't deserve it, to those of us who are poor, which is all of us. And this is very good news. As I conclude, I have a question that I want to ask all of us. I'm seeing some interesting looks right now. You're like, you're already finishing. Praise God. Merry Christmas. I have a question that I want to ask all of us. So who are the most helpless? Who are the most powerless? Who are the least of these in our society today? In the United States in 2012. Who are the least of these? I would argue that the least of these are the unborn. They have no defense. They don't have a voice at all. Nobody can hear their cry. It's interesting that Jesus first identified himself with a helpless little baby. When driven by love, he became poor. He became a baby. He put himself in a mother's womb. He put himself in that situation that the unborn are in even today. However, our society has not only failed to protect the unborn baby, they've gone so far as to declare war on them. That's how far away we are from God's heart as a society today. Made laws and even decided culturally that it's okay to eliminate their lives. It's horrific. The least of these. It's culturally okay to discard the least of these in our society today. It's true. Look at the law of the land. Look at what's happening every single day. We are discarding the least of these. We are not coming and loving and rescuing the least of these. We're doing the complete opposite as a society. Just getting real on this Christmas, okay? This is real life. Jesus coming to this earth wasn't a fairy tale. He came for real life, to deal with real life, to rescue real lives, to change the world for real. Not a fairy tale, not just some theology, not something to make us feel warm and fuzzy. Put Christ back in Christmas. We'll rescue the least of these. You want to put Christ back in Christmas? Don't just criticize people for taking Christ out of Christmas and saying happy holidays, but let's rescue the least of these. Let's come and help them. Let's do what Jesus did. He came for the least of these. We can do that. We're called to do that. Jesus is telling us that how we treat the least of these today, right now, how we treat the least of these is how we are treating Him. Again, it's no joke. Merry Christmas. I'm getting a little serious here, but you know what? This is serious. And it can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming. Because we have all we need in Christ Jesus for life and godliness. We have everything we need to do the right thing. And God has blessed us richly as a people in so many ways to where we have what it takes to make a difference and to do things and to save lives. We have Jesus in us so we can represent Jesus to the world. We understand Christmas. We've been impacted by Christmas so much so that we can bring Christmas, true Christmas, not just the Yuletide, carols being sung by a choir, whatever. Folks dressed up like Eskimos. More than that, we can bring real Christmas to the world. We can bring Christ. We can bring life. We can rescue and show love to the least of these. That's Christmas. God is calling us to love all this Christmas. He's calling us to show love to the least of these. The unborn in America in 2012 need our help. They need us to be their advocates. Not just to say we're going to pray for them, and say we're pro-life and get the pro-life license plate. It's a start. That's all good stuff. But they need us to be their advocates. They don't have a voice. We do. We need to use it. We need to be their advocates. They need our love. Action. True religion. As we just studied in the book of James. They need our real love. They need us to love them like we love Jesus. And how we love them will truly reflect how we love Christ. That's what Jesus told us in Matthew 25 in our passage this morning. That how we respond to the least of these, how we show love to the least of these reflects, truly reflects how much and how we love Jesus. If we ignore the least of these and walk away and say, wow, that was an interesting Christmas message, we're truly doing that to Jesus. We're walking away from Jesus and saying, Jesus is kind of interesting, but sounded good. But we take no action, I'm telling you. I'm in the book of Matthew right now, studying it with my boys. And you read the words of Jesus, man. He's serious. He's serious because his life, his death, and his resurrection, and the reason that all of those happened is very serious. The unborn, the least of these, need us to give more this Christmas. They need us to help give them life. And as I said last week, this is incredible to even think about. There will be babies that are born that would not have been born, but that will be born because this small group of Christians, this church family, decided to walk out Christmas in the way that Jesus walked it out. Because this church family decided to give financially even. That's what we're talking about right now. To give financially, there will be babies that will be born, that will be walking on this earth, that will be fulfilling the calling, the reason why they were created in their mother's womb by God Himself. That's amazing. That we get to be part of that. You want to be Jesus to the world? This is being Jesus to the world. This is the real deal. This is Christianity in action. God, He took action and He came and He gave His life. If He just would have thought about it and said, oh, that would be really neat, but never did it, there would be no salvation. There would be no rescue of us, the least of these. We would not have new life. We would be lost for eternity. But God took action on Christmas. And He came and He gave. And the least of these were part of it and they were rescued. Thank you, Lord. And now we, who are Christians, who are called to be like Christ, to follow Him and to do what He did, we have the opportunity. We have all been blessed financially. I don't see anybody naked in this room, and I thank God for that. There are no naked people in this room. There is nobody completely famished in this room. There's nobody dying right now because they haven't had a drink of water for days and days. I would imagine everybody arrived at this location in a vehicle, in a car. And I imagine that everyone in this room, and if you don't, you let me know. But I imagine everyone in this room has a roof over their head tonight. We are a blessed people. And we have the opportunity to be Jesus to the world, to bring true Christmas to the world and rescue the least of these today. I invite the guys to come up right now and to begin to hand out the offering plates. Tim, would you come up and begin to play some music? We're going to have the opportunity to give right now financially. Every $1,000 that is given saves a life. We're going to be giving to the crisis pregnancy centers. They have calculated that every $1,000 in their budget represents another life saved. Another least of these that is rescued. How many lives are we going to get to save this year? We've saved many in years past as a church. How many are we going to save this year? I'm excited. And by God's grace, there will be a day, it may be an eternity, where we will get to meet these lives that we got to be part of saving. How glorious. As we take the offering, we're also going to do something else. We're going to pray. We're going to have a rapid fire prayer time. Because not only are we going to give financially, but we're going to raise up our voices for the voiceless. And we are going to cry out on their behalf this morning. And we're going to do some spiritual warfare. And we're going to pray for their deliverance, for their safety, for God to come, and for the devil to take his hands off of them. For them to be born, for them to have life, and to have it to the full. So even as we begin to sing, and as you have already given, then come on up and let's pray. Amen? Amen.